President, we'll come back into session, and on item 8, Preston Correctional Facility Discussion and Possible Action Relative to a Proposal by Dr. Royal Custer Relative to Utilizing the Subject Facility for Potential Future Educational Opportunities. Dr. Custer, good morning. It's still morning.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here speaking to the supervisors. I wanted to share first that there are two caveats that I have in terms of presenting today. The first is that I know most all of the supervisors personally, but I think that in order to maintain the decorum with which the occasion is appropriate, that I should probably address as supervisor. Each individual. Rather, I wouldn't want to go to first names unless that is felt appropriate. And
you can call us whatever you want. We've been called most
everything. Called worse.
And I like to use descriptive adjectives that are fitting. For example, if I refer to Supervisor Novelli as the ineffable. Supervisor Novelli, that would be okay too, I think. That's just one reference. Now, well, I think he's smiling about that so far. The other is that I have a tendency to editorialize, so I need to be careful not to editorialize in a presentation like this. So I've put, there are some, I think in my profession we look at what we call humorous anecdotes, which can be interspersed with the slides. And I think that that's, I just want to let you be aware that might be the case, that there might be a humorous anecdote. Might have one of the supervisors read the anecdote so that I wouldn't be reading it, because I don't want to make an editorial comment that would be considered serious. Okay. Okay. So let me go ahead and get started on this. I want to introduce a couple of my younger colleagues. That would be Lois Gann. Could you please stand, Lois? And Pete Campbell. They've come today, and I appreciate them being here. He's going to assist with the slide program. Let's go ahead and start it. This is a familiar sight to everyone. This is Preston Castle from the air. One thing we look at in terms of what is appropriate in a college setting, almost every college, university has some central landmark. For example, University of Pacific, they have the Campanile, which is about 80-foot high tower. In your packets that I've given you, there's Menlo College, and what was considered a central landmark for that business college in Menlo Park is just a very simple building structure. But you'll note in your packet the picture of that. Any kind of college needs to have a central landmark. Well, look what you have here. You have a National Historic Place. Okay, let's go ahead with that from there. We need to take a lead decision on this. And in your packets, I've spoken about Plan A. Now, I've developed... actually, four plans. They're based on what is going to be possible in terms of when there's going to necessarily be legislation, and there will be a promulgation of legislation that will be developed for what the county could do in taking the property. Plan A, I think, is the best plan. And it depends upon what the county is able to get. But there is the only decision that needs to be made right now is, does the county want to go ahead, do you want to go ahead and indicate to state government that the county would like to take the property under certain conditions? So plan A is that Historic Preston School of Industry, with 300 acres to be received from state with funding sufficient for retrofitting historic resources and mitigation of pre-closure systems deterioration. There's been deterioration, obviously, since Preston was closed in June of 2011. The 300 acres is, that's open because the area, and we'll look at it in a minute here, actually at least 200 acres, because the property that is within the perimeter is about 100 acres, and then just outside of the perimeter. So that's kind of open, but I would say between 250 and 300 acres would be appropriate. Now, let's go to the next slide.
Is that much acreage available, being that CAL FIRE has already taken, I believe, about 240 acres under their control?
Well, as I understand it, Intrepid Supervisor Forrester, there is an agreement. I don't believe there's been any legislation with respect to that. But my thinking about this and looking at the research that I have so far is that it's important that at least a portion of that area outside the perimeter to the east, in other words, basically the area between Preston and CAL FIRE is an important section. That and the area to the east up to where the water safety plant is located.
That would have to be determined, because according to the CAL FIRE people, I believe they say they have control of that property now.
Yes.
Is that via a lease, Supervisor Forrester, or ownership?
I'm pretty sure it was offered as a surplus from one state agency to another, and Fluffy
didn't speak as a non-invited, but we could provide you, I think, with the written conditions of who controls. It's called a possession. You know, it's all state property, but we get possession documents to each agency. And I think we just redid that because of our project and some other things going on. I think we could probably forward that to you, just so you have a good basis for who controls what out there. I'll work on that when I get back.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sleppy. By the way, I wanted to compliment Mr. Sleppy on a great presentation, and I don't think that anyone really holds those here responsible for the closure of Preston. Exactly.
Dr. Custer, if it's possible, could I have you slip around to the other side? And the way we run our meetings is not like City of Ione. We like the speakers to speak at us. So.
All right. So you can eyeball to eyeball.
Thank you.
Okay, this is the suggested contract for a feasibility study to be based on the residential college concept of repurposing Historic Preston and contacting educators about the plan. And as you have in your packets, what we really would like to do is a comprehensive plan in terms of vetting different colleges. We would do we make contacts with educators, do Skype conferencing. It would be a number of different potential educators that could be interested in this type of a project. And our contract would be for the six-month period coming up here in August through the end of the year. And the plan would be that there would be a plebiscite put a plebiscite. Yeah. Plebiscite measures on the November ballot. One of the most important parts of that would be asking, does Amador County voters want a college at this site, provided there is funds for the mitigation of pre-closure systems deterioration, as indicated. And that would be placed on the November ballot. I've indicated three there, by the way. One is pertaining to the wastewater treatment situation and conditions that actually Mrs. Lepe has commented on the change of the spray fields for the new prison. But I think that's not directly related to the issue that I have here, but it's something that I think should be considered in terms of whether the community really supports the new prison addition. Okay? Yeah, right. So we would propose that in terms of preparing a feasibility study, that our staff, we have a core staff right now of basically three people that would be preparing the study, and we would occupy as offices the Palm Drive superintendent's residence to manage the 15 acres that are there. And right now, that acreage is being prepared for surplus property sale in January. So in order to keep a cohesive, integrated plan for all of Preston and all of that property, we want to develop a plan and a feasibility study that right now. Get this ready and have it ready for, we'd like to have it ready for the supervisors, obviously, as soon as possible. And we would present it perhaps in your closed sessions, so that it would be done prior to November, when the board might want to make the final decision on what can be done to take the property. And again, it's going to be depend upon the promulgation of legislation. So the proceeds from operating those 15 acres would go to the city of Ione. We would manage that property, in effect, just as it was before they closed Preston. That's the proposal. Now, in your packet, on the left there, it's a statement from, okay, it's an email. This is an email from Karen Patch. She's with General Services, DGS. And she's indicated there about the 15 acres. At this point, it's in the state of whether local government wants that 15 acres. And if local government doesn't take it, it would be opened up to nonprofit housing, low-cost housing nonprofits. If they didn't take it, then it would be by January of 2014, they would be opened up a surplus property. So that's just splitting everything up. We don't want that to happen. There needs to be an integrated approach. Okay. I mean, yeah, well, this is a good point. This is Veterans Circle right here. Right here is the superintendent's residence. This is the colonial castle. This entire area outside the perimeter is about between 25 and 30 acres. entire area of Preston inside the perimeter with this is about 100 acres. I'm proposing that the entire area up here, the all between Preston and Cal Fire, be taken as potentially a college. Now, the alternative plans, if we go ahead and go a little bit further there, a lot depends on, okay, let's go back to that slide just a minute there. Just before that, right there. Okay, a lot of folks think that it's blighted. You've heard that term, blighted? Okay, the only thing, this is the only area, actually, where there might be some blight. It's outside the perimeter. These houses right in here, they're little one-bedroom bungalows. A lot of them haven't been operated even before they closed Preston. Right here, these houses are pretty good shape. They were kept up because they were occupied right up until the closure. This is the north side of Preston. The area, this is an old photo just before this section right here when they put in a brand new boiler plant and a new fire department right in this area right here. A lot of things are new within the perimeter. Okay, this is the old schoolhouse, two-story. It's one thing that needs a little bit of upgrade, but it was improved in the 90s. Still needs some upgrade. It's one of the only things that, the only structures that really needs that much. You want to go ahead with there's the gymnasium. Let's freeze frame it a second. Excuse me. That was the original aircraft hangar back in the 1940s. But they've had to keep everything up. The floor has been repaired a number of times. So it's a gymnasium that's in good shape. Okay? Go ahead. Yes, go back to the video. Now, that's Henderson Lake. I don't think it's really that important if you freeze frame that for a moment. For a time, I think we got irrigation water from that. Preston got some irrigation water. It still could do that, but it's not essential that that be a part of the college. However, the area in this over to the left here has the hill that used to be a dairy. It's historic. So that area and everything between Cal Fire and the castle is a significant piece of property that should be taken, received. Okay, let's freeze frame that. Now, these have been kept up. They would be appropriate for classrooms. This is a cell block, and that could be offices, all the way from here to this end right here. Long hallway, Walia and Ironwood. Okay. Now, Plan B. Is simply what could be done. And I put this in because, as an alternative, that the fire training center could be developed. I think I mentioned a couple of years ago, I shared with the supervisor, and this was before there was a decision for other property for a jail. I also considered a possible regional juvenile hall. And the funding that would be attached to that would be required to be about $23 million, according to Sheriff Ryan. Now, Sheriff Ryan, in his presentation this morning, indicated that you already have an alternative that is being considered for the jail by 2017. Is that it? I think it's 2017. So this would only be a backup plan as a consideration that if the county owns the property, there is an alternative. Okay? That's why I would consider that as being in, put that in there. And now, this area, before you start that, building was constructed in the late 80s, early 90s. It's an auto shop. It's a great building. It's been kept up. There's no blight there. It would be ideal for you could use it for a drama, small theaters, if it were a performing arts college. There's a number of things that could be done. If it was industrial arts, it could be continue to be auto shop. Okay, go ahead. And that's from a different angle, that same building. There's the auto shop. Now, most of that equipment, I think, has been taken out. There's all the computers that were there. Most of it, I think, has been taken for supply.
Yeah, it's all gone. Toward those buildings.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to share this, is that I don't know if anyone is aware that top IRS officials have sued the National Security Agency because their contract spy got better press coverage than when the Internal Revenue Service audited the Tea Party. My scandal is better than yours any day of the year. Okay. Now, if you don't like my material, come up with something better. Okay. Okay, Plan C, the only difference is that if there were no funds, kind of unlikely, but I call this a classical plan. And there's potential of doing, and I think it would be taken to the voters. My suggestion was considering it for ballot later, and if we didn't get everything that's appropriate in terms of potential funding, would be that it could be a fractional time tax override, similar to what was received on Measure M in 2008 for fire safety. And if that were done, then it could be a combination of a college and a county historic park district. Okay. Would meet all the requirements for maintenance. Historic landmark, all of the historic property associated with the historic landmark, and it would be also a college, through an agreement with the private sector on what portion they would do, but then also maintained by the county as a county historic park, especially that area that is to the north of the castle. Connection with doing that, the county could decide, well, the voters could decide, would a portion of that fractional time, that tax revenue go to completely retrofitting the historic landmark?
You know, not to interrupt, Mr. Custer, one thing I would like to point out to you, though, is from what I'm seeing and hearing, you know, counties having a hard time maintaining essential services, let alone passing a tax measure to fund a historic park district.
Right, yeah. I understand.
We've got roads that are falling apart, so, I mean, I would have extreme misgivings about that proposal.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Supervisor Anetto. I just put that in there as a kind of a fail-safe backup plan that I think would be an option in the event the county does take the property. So it's just a classical plan. The other plan D, back to what? Right there. That is the what we used to call the outpatient housing unit. For $2 million, the state completely renovated that in about late 90s. And it's so there's no blight there. Retrofitted. Okay, let's freeze frame that. Okay, this is the inside of it. I'm sorry, I got the wrong building. This is the what they call the BDR, the boys' dining room, and it was completely retrofitted also for just close to $2 million in the late 90s. Go ahead with it.
That's a beautiful building there.
But they took all the equipment out. See how extensive it is. Yeah, great student center. Great student center.
Culinary arts. Culinary Arts Academy. Most of that equipment's all still there.
Yeah, culinary arts. But I think those have been also taken out.
Last time I was there.
That'd be a shame if they did, because I imagine you probably didn't get too many dollars for the value, would be my guess.
No, I'm sure. Oh, that's the horticulture. You know, that's not a permanent structure. Go ahead from there. Okay, this is one that I suggested that corrections would be supported for the expansion which you've just heard about this morning that we've been talking about. And great job in terms of reporting. That provided there is funds to mitigate what happened with historic Preston. A lot of people are not aware that in 1983, statutes went on the books and established the Office of Historic Preservation within the Department of Parks and Recreation. And that required that any department that has historic resources be required to manage those resources. And if closing them, they had to be sure that they were taken care of. So it's a significant thing. Now, Board of Supervisors, when this started, the CEQA action in about February of 2011, you had the right idea then, and because of doing that, it basically changed the position of the Department of Corrections. The recognition of the responsibility they had, not really thinking about what was going to happen. No, then there was nothing considered about repurposing, and they were not even thinking about those statutes that require the maintenance and care of historic resources. All of those that are brick, go ahead from there. Everything that is brick was done probably in about the 1930s, and they're all historic resources. Those that were on the hill, they were done in the 50s, and I guess that they can get by without saying that those are historic. Okay. Assuming that there is no funds, what this was talking about, educators and benefactors would plan sufficient funding for retrofitting the resources. I think it's going to be difficult. Find educators that are willing to back everything. But if it was a public-private effort, then I think it would make a difference, a significant difference. That's the school that I mentioned. That's been kept up as well. You freeze frame it right there. This was built in the 30s, was not used for a long time, and this is the extension out here, which has been operated ever since. Now, that there may be some retrofitting necessary on that second level, as it was not operated just before it was closed.
That man I own had a high school up till 2011.
Only a junior high. Yeah. That's the interior. Now it would just be without any of the furnishings. I should say that there is a fiber optic network for computers that goes throughout the institution. They did that only 3 or 4 years before it was closed. I said, well, if they're going to close it, why do that? But that's the way the state often does. It goes throughout the institution. Fiber optics Plan F, I was being a little bit facetious, basically with this, is by leaving the property in its status quo, doing nothing, this decision becomes one of benign neglect. State departments have now clarified that the only areas outside the perimeter are of interest. Here, the CAL FIRE, they're willing to take the other area outside, but they don't want any responsibility for taking precedent. They'll do nothing with the historic property Preston site if it is now given access and acquiring contiguous areas outside the perimeter that I think are essential to developing an integrated overall program for a college that could have some expansion to the north of Preston or the castle. Now, this is one of the very unique features. There are two chapels. There's a Catholic chapel and a Protestant chapel. These are in good shape. They've been kept and maintained properly. The next scene you'll see the auditorium, the O.H. Close Auditorium, which also has been maintained. It's been kept up. Okay, Operation Fast and Furious, code name. Official covers up a scandal. Okay. Okay, so you have those three ballot measures. Now, this is just proposed. Amador County receive all property associated with the Preston School of Industry and transfer for sufficient funding. This is an important part of it. I think it should be put on the ballot. This is really pertinent. It doesn't put everything on the supervisors. For retrofitting resources and mitigation of systemic damage from prior to the closure of the institution in June 2011. Now, I'm sure that the county administrator and county attorney can develop a little better or more meted out statement, which would be on this plebiscite.
So by this, you're assuming that a deal can be struck with the state to contribute those X dollars in funding to go towards the restoration.
Yes, I think Supervisor Forster would be impetus for that. that if that's going to be on the ballot, it would certainly be supported. I think the legislature would be interested in that. Okay, now this may not be considered. You know, I talked about this with someone else who will be helping us when we get this contract as an office assistant just last night. And that very excellent person, very talented, suggested, well, how is this going to be connected with Mule Creek? Well, Mule Creek is going to be connected with everything. Provided state funding is included for mitigation of systemic damage and structures. Okay. And whether it be placed in the ballot or not, you know, that's still to be determined. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, this is the one that was questioned. Approval of expansion of the prison only provided sufficient state funding is included for a regional secondary wastewater treatment facility in the city of Ione such that the ratepayers receive no more than 4% increase. Now, I don't know whether Mr. Stuffy would know about that and how that would fit within the parameters of the plan for the prison. This is just off the top of my head, okay, when I designed that particular possible measure. But I think that they should be connected. They're inseparably connected. What Ione has right now is a regional treatment plant, but they keep getting a lot of flack from the state for not having it perfect. But that's only the little city of Ione. If it's regional, it's responsible for, what is the word, ARSA? Is it ARSA?
Amateur Regional Sanitation Authority, ARSA.
Yeah, ARSA. And takes care of everything with Sutter Creek. Plus, it has been with three state facilities. Ione is only one half. I mean, the population of Ione that's free is only one half, at least until last year, it was only one half of the population.
Wow. Okay. I think a lot of us agree with you that we'd like the state to contribute a lot more, but I think Mr. Sleppy said it today, and I've heard it in previous presentations by the state, that the state will pay for what they're responsible to pay for the increase in for the impact they're going to have because of their facility. They might go a little bit beyond what they're responsible for, but I don't think they're going to take the next leap and pay for a lot more. As in this case, I agree with you that the state has a tremendous impact, but their argument's always been they're not going to pay for much more than they're responsible for.
Yes, during the interim that I spoke with Mr. Tuffy, and he was talking about the number of people the number of additional jobs, about 360, I think, additional jobs besides about 1,250 that now work for at Mule Creek. And that's going to be a significant difference. But are those people going to be residing in Ione in Amador County, or are they going to be commuting? For years, most of the personnel at Mule Creek commuted in. And with the closure of Preston, which had about one half to about two thirds of the employees that were local and lived in Amador County, no, you know what happened is a lot of those people moved out. So when you have an activity that's going to repurpose Preston, and you have a college going in there, that's going to be a great interactive kind of effect. And more people will be able to stay, will be welcome to expand that area. Now, don't tell all of the other areas in Amador County, but I think that if we get a college at Preston, it's going to become the hub of the area. Possibly the hub of Amador County, maybe the hub of the region.
You know, question on that, Mr. Custer, have you had any expressions of interest from any colleges?
Yes, I have.
Um,
In your packet to the left side, you have a letter that was sent to me recently. And I had just, in fact, I just went over, I was talking to Dean Lynn Beck. She's a dean and professor at the Benard School of Education at the University of Pacific. I went over there because that's my alma mater. That's where I got my doctorate, a little ways back. And as you see in the second paragraph, she suggested that even if the University of Pacific is not interested in Preston as a site, because it has, they have so many, they have Sacramento for the law school, they have in San Francisco, they have the pharmacy school. But they're suggesting that there are several that might be looking for something that might be partnered. In other words, they might be putting together a consideration of more than one college cooperatively. And they mentioned, she mentioned Brandeis University, National University, Laverne, and Grand Canyon University. She said, appear to me to be seeking partners and identifying promising locations in our region. Okay. Now, those are just a few.
Are those all private colleges?
Yeah, they are. They're small private colleges. I believe business colleges. Now, the other thing that I didn't put in the packet goes back for a couple of years. And I didn't put it in the packet because it's kind of a personal letter. For some time, I've been interested in this. Preston would be a great college, university. And I've been thinking about, there are folks that they want to put a faith-based, principle-based private university. Okay. So I got this letter. This is back in March of 2011. It says, it was nice to meet with you last week and discuss the current status of the Preston Youth Correctional Facility. In addition to our conversation and materials you have provided regarding the historic Preston Castle, I have seen some informational videos on the Internet describing the facilities and programs at Preston. It is unfortunate that the financial institution or situation in California has led to a decision to close that operation. I can understand your desire to find a beautiful future for the campus. Then he referred me to other universities. Southern Virginia University has experience and great interest in operating a faith-based, principle-based institution. There is, Southern Virginia University is looking for a campus on the West Coast. Last time I talked with the current president, he suggested Northern California would be a second tier of their interest. We'd like to bring that up to a first tier. So there will be, and especially if this is placed on the ballot, and you know, it's basically indicating, you don't have to make a decision right now. The county doesn't have to make a decision at all with respect to whether it would take Preston. But have us do a feasibility study. My two colleagues here. Well, I'm not sure Lois will be involved, but she likes office services.
How much would the feasibility study cost?
That's negotiable. And I was thinking of something that would be in the neighborhood of, and it would help us to do this. Because we would be able to do this, and we would also be able to operate that 15 acres for about $5,000 a month. Over a six-month period, that would only be $30,000. And then during that would include not just the feasibility study, but showing the property, the being able to have educators come to the property, maybe even spend the night in one of the special rooms at the former superintendent's residence, be hosted to see the historic property. They would have a tour of the castle. We have a tour of the entire facility. And I would do a little bit better job preparing for them to see what they're interested in. I would like just for a minute to have Pete Campbell, my associate, share with you why he thinks that it would make a difference. Why would a college make a difference?
Are you done with the slide presentation?
Are we pretty much? Is it? Let's do one more. One more. Let's finish that up. This is inside the auditorium. Now, the only way that this is blighted is that there is some graffiti on the backs of some of the chairs.
Now, that's a historic documentation of who was there before.
Yes, a historic documentation.
All right.
It was done in 1933. Okay, and that's the inside of the commissary. You can go here. Which is a building that's been, it's in really good, it was built in the early 90s. Okay, and that's the fire training center. And that was built in about 1989-90, about the same time that Mule Creek was built. So it's in really good shape, really good condition. That's one of that's the cafeteria at the fire training center. Is that it? Okay. So, Campbell.
Pete Campbell.
Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you. This was unexpected. I didn't know I was going to say anything, but I really don't know what to say. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, in my opinion, that Preston, great college. You know, provided that it happens. Just one second on my background. I have a master's degree in psychology, and I'm currently in a doctorate program for a doctorate in psychology. My goal through school to offer counseling services to individuals, families in need. And a college in general in the area, I think, would benefit the county. I mean, currently, people move out of Amador County when they graduate high school, and some of them, very few of them, probably return to stay. And I think that's unfortunate. I think that's pretty indicative of any small community, though, if people move away to the bigger cities. But I think that having a college here would help be an incentive for folks to stay and build a community suburb of Sacramento. So.
I guess, Dr. Custer, in a previous meeting with you, you and I met with Dan Epperson and Dana Jorgensen, and kind of got one leg from the county, one leg from the city, and one leg from the state, so to speak, with Dana, representing a state senator and state assemblyman. But I guess the main sentiment we had that day is none of us have any money.
Yes.
Really have to be very persistent to get some money from the state, I think, to get them to agree with this. I'm not saying it can't be done, but in the economic climate today, well, the state's got plenty of money, but the governor wants to spend it all on high-speed rail and things like that. So the county doesn't have much money, and the city has less money to even come up with the $5,000 a month for a feasibility study. We just canceled a good portion of our federal lobbyist contract, and that was probably in the range of I think it was $7,000 a month, and we cut that down significantly just because we can't afford it anymore. See the predicament we're in is how do we come up with the funding? I guess a ballot measure is one way to ask people, are you willing to support this if we can get money from the state?
Yes, and I think that's really significant there. I think what will help in terms of getting money from the state will be that ballot measure and putting it on the ballot. I think that just making the decision right now that you would be doing a feasibility study, this will allow us to have that opportunity. And it doesn't have to be exactly that amount. That was a suggested amount. However, going ahead and starting this way is about the only... I think it's an effective way, and will be an effective way, to initiate and get the ball rolling on this so that you can then go ahead and do the vetting that will be necessary to find educators that would be interested in doing something of this kind, a project like this. I mean, can you imagine anywhere in the United States that would have a historic landmark? Historic landmark that is the centerpiece of the college, the educational, the center of higher learning. No, there's nothing like that. It's unnatural.
You met with Jack Mitchell and Bill Bunce on this, and Bill Bunce from the development side, but what was his indication on the
project? Well, he had not been inside. He'd never seen anything inside. All he had seen was the outside. There was the veteran circle, and he, based on that, was that they were thinking of the 15 acres at the time. That's all. They had not been inside. They had not seen anything. They did not know the condition of those buildings. He didn't say one way or the other. At that time, Ed Pattison, the manager, the city manager, was thinking of perhaps that particular area, if it's going to be, they could get the 15 acres for the city and do put some shops there. Well, I don't know what good that's going to do. There's all kinds of shops, and they're not open right now in Ione. But, I mean, for the future, it's something that could be considered in connection with, if you put an integrated plan, you have college as the integrated plan. Then there can be additional things that can be done. But there needs to be a decision that's what is wanted. Decision by local government is that at least find out if that would be something that would really work.
Questions?
I'll just comment. I found upon touring the Preston facility when it was proposed to be closed a similar enthusiasm that it would make a beautiful college campus. It has a lot of the amenities that Dr. Custer has mentioned. I sit as the chair of the Community College Foundation Board here locally, and you know, we've tried to do things more from an online standpoint. I have interest in your comment, Dr. Custer, that said that there are state statutes that require any state department that holds properties of historic significance to provide for their care and upkeep into the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'd definitely be interested in more information on that particular topic. But I really think I really think in order for anything to happen, we're one of two counties in the entire state of California that is not affiliated with a college district. We're not in a college district. We've looked to trying to potentially annex into a college district, but the problem with that is that if you do so, it asks our local property tax payers to assume the indebtedness of the district they annex into. And I can't in good conscience do that. We'll be at the same situation as Calaveras right now, where they're paying out $3.5 million a year into the Delta Community College District for nothing. I don't want to be there. But if we could work out an agreement with a community college district that would commit to the staffing and operations of a college in exchange for us providing the location and the infrastructure and so forth, you might have a win-win scenario there that could be coupled with trying to pass a bond measure locally so that if local taxpayers are asked to pay for some bond indebtedness, they're doing so with the forethought and knowledge that they're getting facilities in their community developed, not paying for a new fountain out in front of UOP or Delta College or something like that.
That's a pretty fountain, John.
Yeah, I know. It is. So that's just in my last several years of being on that community college foundation, it really needs to be a combination of locals being willing to, you know, pay a small increment on their property taxes to see to it that a facility is actually created and operated here locally, and you need some help from an institution that's their forte, is operating and maintaining.
Well, yeah, I too am interested in the state historic preservation aspect and the laws passed to that. You know, the big problem is there's not a whole lot of money. You know, there may be maybe a combination of things you can do. The culinary part of it looked pretty good. Maybe with all the shop space, business park, there, you know, you might be able to bring up some business, light manufacturing or something like that in the area. But I don't see no easy solution to this. You know, I live in Sutter Creek. There's two things there that are historic. The old school is falling apart. That's next door to me. And then Knight Foundry is sitting there, and it's in private ownership, and it's blighted and fallen apart. And I'm surprised somebody hasn't driven by and thrown a cigarette out there and lose the whole thing. So there's a lot of need countywide for historic preservation.
That's real true. One question I'd have is, do you have any ideas what it'd take to renovate that castle, dollar-wise?
Yes, about $8 million. In 1994, a study was done. I think Supervisor Forrester has a copy of that.
Was that $84 or current dollars?
Oh, that was 94.
Oh, 94? Okay, I didn't hear you.
And however, that's based on an outside estimate. And a lot of it has been done. That included the roof, so which has already been taken care of. They got a new roof. It's not slate, but they have a good roof. And some work has already been done. So, but the retrofitting would include that about $8 million.
For the 1994 study?
Yes, based on the 1994 study.
And you probably double it for today's numbers, most likely.
Move it up 10%?
I'd double it, minimum.
This is an ongoing animal all on its own after the storms.
You know,
I'm not getting up there.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good way to die. Unless you know what you're doing, even then you can. No, I think as far as a location for a college campus, if there was a college interested, I think it'd be a great location. Probably needs a lot of work. But, I mean, the castle by itself is, it's basically a work art, but it's a work art that's been neglected for a lot of years. And one reason why it's been neglected is that it could take a whole lot of money to fix it. Since it's a beautiful building, but it'd take you're talking big dollars. And if the county, we don't have that kind of money, and I don't foresee the state, unless there's something, that statute you're talking about, which I doubt the state would do that themselves. They might do it to us, but they wouldn't do it themselves. I don't foresee that being a magical bullet. Maybe it is, but I think I don't see the county stepping in and taking over that facility. I just don't. It's too much money. Too big a commitment that I think we'd have a hard time fulfilling. Unless we could find somebody that says, yeah, they're interested. But if they're not there, I don't want to step in and take it over. Even the state was willing to relinquish it.
We've been taking over too many state responsibilities is the bottom line.
Yeah, we don't.
Such as realignment, et cetera, et cetera.
We don't have the need nor the financial ability to, or with all to do it. Just don't.
Mr. Kester, during your, Dr. Kester, excuse me, during your homework needs here, did you do any financial analysis in regards to what would be best for that location? Is there one college, is there one trade school better than another one that would be more willing to jump on the bandwagon to go this route?
Well, I wanted to keep it open, and I've got some estimates. Before it was closed, we had Scott Kernan and others come for an open house. They estimated that if the state were to completely renovate systems and everything, of course, what they would be doing would be taking out and completely putting in new systems. They were talking about $42 to $44 million. I don't think it would be anywhere near that, especially with the facilities that have already been retrofitted. But if you had a college that wanted to come in with $20 million and redecorate, do whatever kind of renovation that they want to do for their particular operation, that would be a reasonable thing. I would think that you would bet whether they would be able to come up with that kind of funds. And then there would be a consideration, a negotiation of whether the county could cooperate with a college that would do something like that. And one of the things in terms of the historic resources is that the state is responsible. Now, I don't know, you know where Dutschke Road is? Dwight Dutschke has retired about a year ago, but he was one of the chief people at the Historic Preservation, Office of Historic Preservation. And he's a real resource. He knows all those laws and the rules and in connection with how departments have to interact. So I think that it's really worth a try. And I'm telling you, I'd be passionate about it. if I could, pardon?
Have you contacted any of those other schools that were on the list from the dean from UOP or from your contact that listed the other school? Have you contacted any of those schools?
No, I have not yet. That's high on the priority list if we head with this. But I know that if there is an impetus and a decision, that we would look into it. Just looking into it, that there's going to be interest, especially if you put the measure on the ballot.
So your feeling is that this board and possibly City of Ione has to take action first to capture the property?
Exactly. My feeling is that without, I don't think that there's anyone that's going to, I don't think even Donald Trump want to talk to the state about it. But Donald Trump might be interested in something like this. And, you know, it can be the future. It's a small investment in the future to at least investigate it. No. We could do it for less than $30,000.
Well, any other questions from the board members? Any public comment? Public that's left? Okay, hearing none. Dr. Custer, thank you for the presentation. It's a lot of food for thought today. I think this may be back on our agenda at some point, but as you said, the board needs to think about this and chart a pathway or not chart a pathway.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
But, would it be put back on the agenda?
I'm not going to give you a date certain because I don't know this point.
No action
I'm
today.
I'm not hearing an overwhelming cry from the board that we need to move forward on this right now.
That's correct.
Moving forward would be authorization of a feasibility study, if we were
that,
to do.
And consideration of putting it on the ballot, but I would say you need some kind of evidence that it is feasible. I would say also that you and Mr. Campbell are probably not the most impartial people on this issue. So this, I would expect the conclusion to say that it is feasible.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you were to decide on a feasibility study, we'd probably have to do more of a RFP process or something to that effect anyway, not just award somebody that said, let's do a feasibility study, award them a contract to do a feasibility study. We've got to vet the
right. Well, we
feasibility
use that
of the firm first.
It's a very generic term, feasibility study, but it's a vetting of educational, of educators and whether they would want to look into it. That's about half of the thing right there, is determining what would be appropriate and what could be brought to the project by potential educators.
Well, now that that entered my mind, I mean, you may talk with the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. They're charged with, there's a lot of grants, and a lot of it, some of it is for preservation of historic sites. So maybe you can get a grant from them just for the feasibility part of it. It's possible. I know I'm reaching for stuff, but something to look into.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to appoint ad hoc committee of myself, being that I represent the area, and Supervisor Plaz, being that he represents the educational interests on the community college district. And we'll sit down with our CAO next week when he returns and talk about this. And, you know, I'm with you on I'd love to have the property. I'd love to see it be a college campus. I don't know if we can ever afford that. I don't know if a college will step forward and put money towards that effort, significant dollars. As you and I met with the other gentlemen, that was one of the items I threw out, that we need a college that's going to come in, and if we're going to get this done, they're going to need to be the one to contribute significant funding. I'm not sure in this environment today that that's going to happen, but if Supervisor Plass will agree to that, then we can sit down with our CAO and talk about issues like the feasibility study, or at least an initial study, and the other issues that were brought up today. And then we'll notify you if and when it comes back to the board level for discussion.
You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm thinking it anyhow. Worst case scenario, we don't even get to first base, and so the state puts it out to surplus and sells it. Maybe at that point, possibly some CCs and CC&Rs can be put into place to kind of preserve the integrity of this place, even though it will be broken up. If it's, you know, the integrity is preserved, it wouldn't be so bad. That might be your only alternative in the end.
You know, it appears to me that we're kind of commingling, if you will, separate properties here. We really have, let me just say this. My understanding was that the state recently embarked on separating the utility services to the castle from the, I guess we'll call it the campus, within the perimeter of the facility.
Not recently. Everything's about severed right now.
Already?
Okay, severed, but designed. The forethought is that the historic castle property is one piece, and it has its own utility supply lines to it. The Preston Educational Facility is another, and then the third area is this 15 acres that is the superintendent's house and the bungalows outside. So, I mean, we've got to be, I know your proposal, Dr. Custer, is a residential college campus, and yes. maybe from a vocational training standpoint, you know, that would make a lot of sense because you could bring people from all outside the area to achieve specifics in a vocational venue.
Yes.
But we seem to be mixing it with the preservation of the historic castle, and that to me doesn't necessarily coincide with the development of a college effort.
Well, you're right and you're wrong. And I didn't understand this at first either, but with Preston Castle going for historical, national historical preservation status, they've applied for it, but in the overall application, it plays much better to those making the decision if you include the overall historic properties. So they've got the Preston site documented for the historical uses for education with youth, and that's going in with their application. So even though it would be separate someday in the National Historic Preservation application, you have to look at the bigger picture when you're applying for it.
Back to what I said a little earlier, you know, you might encourage the city of Ione to do a historical district. They have one in Sutter Creek, and you can make some changes to your house or whatever, but it has to go through planning commission or whatever, so that might not be a bad thought, too. You might be able to preserve some of it that way if everything goes south and you're able to do nothing and it gets sold off.
I wish Mr. Schleppi was still here, but as I understand from the process, too, that the state has already gone in and documented many of the Preston sites for their historical relevance. And by doing that, it means the structures don't have to stay in place as long as they have been documented in some way.
Certain ones, those that were probably constructed in the 50s, that they're not necessarily historical significance. It's just the others are most significant, and they can't tear them down.
So if I understand your statement correct, Supervisor Forster, the application for recognition as a national historic place or landmark or whatever is going to include the area that is proposed for a college, too? Because
include the Preston facility.
Like the churches and the auditorium and the dining hall and that stuff?
Because the natural tie-in is youth correctional facility was the castle at one point. When it moved to the facility, you still have the youth there and the educational as well as correctional purposes. So there, you have to tie all that together for a national historic.
Might be shooting yourself in the foot. I mean, now you got a college campus that you want another college to come in and partner with you on to offer collegiate services and so forth, but they're hamstrung by this national recognition of a historic landmark. And believe me, there's a lot of strings attached to
being
able to build or renovate within that.
John, I wouldn't say you're hamstrung because by documenting, all you have to do is document it on paper and with pictures.
No,
I had the same thought as Supervisor Plaza a little bit.
Kennedy Mine is recognized as a National Historic Landmark, and there's things that you can do and there's things that you can't do.
No, but you're talking about recognizing the castle as a National Historic
Landmark.
Well,
that's what I was getting at earlier, then, the separation of the castle from...
But then you have the whole region is considered in the application for the historic significance to the castle. And they could. I don't know if that what's going to happen down the road, but I don't think there's necessarily a prohibition on taking buildings down or anything like that because you have the state has documented that. Now, whether you when you tie it to the castle, whether that puts another impediment to future development by a developer or a community college district or university, I don't know.
No, it might be good to look at the history just for a minute. In 1967, TYA at the time, before they were corrections, decided that they wanted to raise the castle.
1947, they did raise a similar castle in Southern California, in Whittier. They were both built about the same time in the 1890s. So, in 67, how do you think local government and the local people felt about that? They were carrying placards. I mean, there was a lot of opposition to the state tearing down their castle.
They were still operating then, too, weren't they?
In 67, no. They had closed it in 1960. Okay. So what happened as a result? Well, after the protest, they stopped the idea. No, we'll leave it open. We'll leave it up. We won't do anything with it, but we'll leave it up for you. By 1973, I can remember his name right now, but one of the local historians pushed for a California Historic Landmark status, and it achieved that in 1974. 1975, it became a National Historic Place. But still, the CYA paid no attention to taking care of it. Instead, they put the perimeter outside of the castle. That's been the problem forever. I mean, since that time, that it's a separate function. So what is needed is to bring this all back together. And the county is in a position, a perfect position to do that.
For the sake of time, I'm going to leave it at that today.
Okay.
Maybe Supervisor Plaz and I can meet with Gary Reinell or someone from with historical background reference. So with that,
okay.
Gary, any comment? Okay. With
thank
that,
you
thank you, gentlemen, for coming
thank
today,
you.
For spending the time. And with that, we're going to go to our last agenda item on our regular agenda, the minutes of May 28, 2013, the minutes of June 11th. We'll come back to our next meeting. Any comments on the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, on page 3, KPUD should be Kirkwood Metal Public Utility District.
Meadows Public Utility District, okay. I have minor corrections as well as a couple that are... You might feel it's more than minor. On page 8, it says, Mr. Kim Burke, Auditor's Office, addressed the board and stated she has been investing with Hartford for 9 years. So. Then on the CMSP report, Jennifer, I have some corrections on that. The biggest one is a line there on the view from the CMSP board, but the other on the fourth line down, $900 million in 2014-15 and should be $1.3 billion in 16-17, not $16.11 billion.
Same problem in the previous minutes. I think we had the same problem in the previous minutes, too. Yeah. Yeah, so I just had minor changes. That was all I have.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve minutes with changes.
Second.
To approve the minutes with modifications. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Abstain.
The board will have one more item.
One abstain.
Abstention from Supervisor Plaz. The board has one more item in closed session. I'll leave it to the board. Do you want to cover that now? Jennifer, how long do you think that item will take? Cover that in 5-10 minutes, board members, and then break for lunch?
Yeah, now. I'd rather do it now than later.
Yeah.
We'll go back.
Get it in.